Praise the Lord. Glad you're here. Met so many of you this morning, and you have been so gracious to us. And we look forward to meeting more of you and encouraging you. If we can answer your questions, we'd love to do that as well. And I'd like to invite you to take your Bible tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 3, okay? This is a beautiful passage of Scripture, one of the most beautiful in all of the Bible, not just the New Testament, in all of the Bible itself. I memorized it several years ago, but I just want to read it to you. And it starts in verse 14. It's Paul's, this is his prayer for the Ephesians. And he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That's a big gamut there, isn't it? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love," right, "may be able to comprehend." Remember, this morning we talked about the gospel. If it's going to be yours personally, if it's going to be real in your life, you have to be able to comprehend it, right? "So comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ," and then I love this, "which you can't know anyway." You can't plumb the depth of it anyway. "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him." Now this is what I want you to think about what he means here. "Now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, to him be glory in the church." Amen. "Be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Have you ever underestimated something? Raise your hand if you've ever underestimated something. Okay, almost everybody here has done that, right? You've underestimated the cost, the worth of something or someone. Have you ever underestimated God and his abilities, his omnipotent abilities in your life, which this prayer was that you would start to realize some of those abilities to do extraordinary things? Tonight I want to share my heart with you a little bit, okay? If that's okay. I'm not going to cut the text like I did this morning, but lots of scripture. I'll just share many scriptures. This is sort of my base point here. When I was a freshman in college, the first year I was in Bible college, I went to a chapel one day and a missionary walked into the pulpit and told us to open our Bibles to a certain passage, and he started to really work over the text. And the guy sitting next to me, and I was a brand new Christian, the guy sitting next to me, he said, "Oh, I hate that." And I looked at him and I said, what do you hate? "I hate it when missionaries preach the Bible." And I'm going, "I'm sorry. What are you talking about?" He goes, "No, I mean," and then he looked at me and goes, "I want them to tell me their stories." And it hit me. He wasn't against the Bible being preached. But if this is a missionary coming from a foreign field, serving the Lord Jesus somewhere, I want to hear those stories. Stories of individuals coming to Christ. I want to hear those stories. And you know what? We never heard any stories. I don't know if he had any. He handled the Bible just fine. But he never unpacked it in his own life. So I'd like to share some stories with you tonight. And not to boast of any accomplishments, not at all, but to magnify, just as we sang, the Lord in his glory, and in the case of so doing, encourage you. So when we were getting ready to plant our very first, not our first church, our fifth church, so as Pastor referred to today, we've planted seven churches plus Sailorville. There are eight churches in the Engage network, and we're working toward another one as we speak. Really excited about it. As we were working on our fifth church, we said goodbye to a very, very, a guy who was really greatly used in our church. He had served as our evangelism pastor for 19 years. And we were saying goodbye to him. He was going to leave our church and go to one of those other, to our newest church plant. And so we had a big farewell. And there were lots of tears because he had served us so wonderfully. And during the fellowship time, I noticed this woman with tears in her eyes. Her name is Emily. And I said, Emily, what's with the tears? Is it because Chuck is leaving? She goes, yeah, I'm sad that he's leaving. But it's just that it meant so much to me. Whenever he taught on evangelism, I'll never forget what she said. She goes, whenever he taught on evangelism, I always left thinking, I can do this. And that's my goal tonight with you. That you'll leave here, if you're a true born-again Christian, you'll leave here from these principles, these things that you should never underestimate that I'm going to share with you tonight, and you'll leave here saying, I can do this. And that's what I want to do. I want to talk about seven things you should never underestimate in your life. That's my prayer, that you'll walk away saying, I can do this. Here's the first, and I'm talking specifically to those of you who are young. And young, when you're my age, it's a relative term. If you're under 67, you're young. All right, number one, never underestimate the glory of your youth. And that's exactly how the scripture describes you. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29, Solomon said, the glory of young men is their youthfulness, their youth. And the splendor of old men is their gray hair. And as you can see, looking at me, I've gone from glory to splendor. And I'm thinking about preaching to the high schoolers message on David and Goliath. And I think if you know the story of David and Goliath, you remember what happens at the very end? At the very end, here is Jonathan, the son of Saul. He's watching all this, and the very next chapter says he and David's hearts were what? They were knit together. You want to know why I believe they were knit together? Because if you do the chronology in Jonathan and David's life, hate to ruin those childhood visions that you have, but David and Jonathan were not the same age. I think Jonathan was at least 20 years older than David. He might have been closer to 30. Now think about that for a moment. Jonathan, at least 20 years older than David. And why do I point that out? I think as Jonathan watched David slay the giant and take his head off, that teenager David, he saw himself in David years earlier. And if you know the story of that first United Kingdom, when Jonathan was young, he and his armor bearer attacked those Philistines. They talked to God about it. They just put a whooping on him. And I think Jonathan saw himself in David. And I think that's what pulled them together. And today, that's me. I'm Jonathan. I'm looking at you young ones, and I say, I look for the guys that have a heart for God and are not underestimating the glory of your youthfulness, and you're just going after it with all the strength you can muster. The word glory could mean beauty. It can also mean bravery. And that glory, I remember that glory in my life. I became a Christian when I was 24 years old, and I was literally a bull in the china shop. I walked into a synagogue and confronted a rabbi. I wish I could tell you I won. I did have a great conversation with them. I was preaching on college campuses. I was going onto the streets in Des Moines, Iowa, preaching, confronting family, confronting friends, losing friends, being received, being rejected. I loved it all. I hated it all. I wept. I cried. I rejoiced. But in my youth, I just kept going. And every experience, and with every experience of sharing Jesus with old and young alike, God deepened my faith. And by the way, if you're young and you don't underestimate the glory of your youth, and you go after it with all your heart, God will deepen your faith. You think God's going to deepen your faith only if you study theology? He will deepen your knowledge. He'll deepen your faith as you practice it. Philemon 6 says this. It says, I pray that you would be, this is out of the old NIV, and it's actually a very accurate translation of a very difficult verse to translate in the Greek. Here's what it says. I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith so that you may have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. I'll give it to you again. I pray you would be active in sharing your faith so that you may have a full understanding of everything we have in Christ. Because as you activate your faith in the glory of your youth, you see the other side. You remember the way it was for you when you were in darkness and when you were not in the light. You appreciate, you deepen your love and appreciation for the gospel. It's all there in the glory of your youth. So young men, young women, don't underestimate the glory of your youthfulness. You can do this. And when I say you can do this, you know, a little amen would be appropriate, okay? Amen. You can do this. Amen. Love it. Secondly, don't ever underestimate the beauty of gratitude, the beauty of thankfulness. Colossians, if you slide over to Colossians, it's just a couple of little books over. There are seven times that the Apostle Paul just sort of drops being grateful into the mix of what he's talking about with the Colossians. It's almost like a stopgap. It just sort of comes in there. Colossians 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. Chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Chapter 2 and verse 7. I love this. Verse 6, as you receive Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And he goes on and on all the way through the entire book, just sort of baking gratitude into your life. Never, and this is for all of us, never underestimate the beauty of thankfulness. Aren't you drawn to thankful people? I'm not drawn to cynical people. I'm not drawn to curmudgeons, those who just have to have something against something or someone all the time. I'm drawn to people who are grateful, who are thankful. And I'm so much more thankful today than I was when I was young. I look forward to expressing my gratitude in heaven to a number of people, like Dave Leonard. Dave Leonard, now, he was not a thing. Dave Leonard was the father of a missionary son and his grandsons all became missionaries. One of his grandsons is on staff at Sailorville. So great, just an amazing track record in the family. Dave Leonard, however, I was a brand new Christian. He was at the front of the church. He was old. He's like 116. I don't remember how old he was, but it seemed like that old to me. He got up, he was bent over, and his back was to everybody, and he read from Isaiah 6, when the day Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he turned around and he goes, how do you see him? I don't remember what else he said, but I'll never forget that. But I really appreciated him. I mean, Dave Leonard was not a guy you went to if you wanted to be encouraged. You went to him if you needed a kick in the pants. He didn't have a lot of takers. So I was actually going into a grocery store one day, and as I walked in, he was standing outside, and he was a real tall guy. And he said, Nimbers, get over here. I want to talk to you. So I walked over to him. And when Dave talked to you, he never looked at you, but he expected you to look at him. So I'm over here like this, and Dave's going, okay, Nimbers, I got to tell you something. I'm right over here. He says, I was in a mission one day preaching the gospel. And then he went, "You don't dare preach anything else in a mission." And he went on talking. I don't know what else he said. But that line, "You don't dare preach anything else in a mission," it made perfect sense to me. If I'm in a mission where everybody's lost, like some of you are here now, you're here, but you're not with God, you're still lost. But if everybody is that way, I don't need to go in there and tell them how to be a good wife or a good husband or a good employee or a good patriot. I need to tell them about Jesus, amen? I need to preach the gospel to them. And Dave taught me that, and I'm going to thank him for that. I'm going to thank Bill Clark. Bill Clark was an old guy in our church, I think 116, I think he was twins with Dave Leonard, but anyway, the first church I pastored, Bill Clark was one of my greatest encouragers. He loved good Bible exposition, he loved preaching the word, I was all over the text, and he loved it. But in my younger days, I went extra biblical on a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? I preached against music, I preached against dress, I preached against a lot of things that the Bible didn't say a whole lot about, or I just went too far. Does that make sense? And so one day I went too far on something. I don't remember what it was. But I was going through people were shaking my hand, I'm getting a lot of attaboys from the people that I sort of developed a few of those kind of people, unfortunately. And Bill comes through the line, and uncharacteristically, just sort of gives me a stern look. He shook my hand, he looked me in the eye, and he said, "Stick to the Bible's sins, Pastor. There's plenty of them you can preach." And he walked out the door. I was so upset. But I was so grateful later on for Bill. Because he taught me to stick with the truths of God and don't go extra biblical. I can't wait to get to heaven to thank him. But wait, listen, someone said, when you're climbing the ladder of life, don't forget the rungs that got you to the top. And those rungs, they look like people. They look like pastors. They look like teachers. They look like Sunday school teachers. They look like people who have served and loved on you, and you should be thanking. Why wait till heaven? Thank them now, right? Because you never want to underestimate the beauty of gratitude. You can do this. Thank you. Thirdly, never underestimate the unchanging value. This is an important one, as they all are. Never underestimate the unchanging value of what you believe. I marvel at all the changes that have occurred since I became a Christian. I mean, I've literally gone from landlines to cell phones, email, internet, streaming platforms, Zoom, podcast, you name it. In the church, we have websites, tech advancements, music changes, preaching styles, innovations. And I do think we need to adjust to the times. But truth, like God, never changes. I was in the home very early as a young pastor with this couple. They were living together, and I was trying to reach them for Jesus. And by that time, I'd been in the church a couple years, and we had doubled in size. The church doubled in size. Don't be impressed. There was only 27 the first time I showed up. But now we had 50 or 60. And now we had a women's group, we had a men's group, we had a youth minister, we even had a choir. And I was sitting in that living room selling the church to this couple. And I kid you not, there's not a charismatic bone in my body, but I felt like God himself was speaking to me as I was literally to my heart. I sensed the Lord say, "What are you doing? When you first got here, you didn't talk about all this. You just talked about me. I like that better. Get back talking about me." I literally sensed that while I was talking to this couple. I was rebuked by the Spirit of God in the moment. And I literally repented, and I just went right back to the gospel. How did Jeremiah put it? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories, let him who boasts, let him who's proud be boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord. So when Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, seen by angels, preached on in the world, ascended up in heaven, received into glory. That's our story. That's our story all the way to glory, the gospel. And especially the resurrection. I'm passionate about the resurrection. Are you passionate about the resurrection? You should be. Because that's what makes the gospel the gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no good news. We're still dead in our trespasses and sins. One of the greatest compliments I've ever received came just this last year. A dear friend of my wife and I's passed away from pancreatic cancer. She was young, she was beautiful, she loved Jesus. It was a horrible, horrific struggle, and eventually she passed away. Her husband, they lived in California, they said, will you fly out here, Pat? Will you do the funeral? I said, I'll do it. He goes, I want you to do it. I said, why do you want me to do it, Charlie? He goes, because you believe it. And I thought, doesn't every Christian believe it? But I knew what he meant. I'd mentored him for over 10 years. We're going to tell this story tomorrow, but when my wife died, I had 7 children, ages 14 down to 1. And hundreds of people surrounded us at the gravesite. And the man, the pastor who mentored me, stood over the grave. And while my heart was sinking, that casket was being lowered, my heart was lowering, my heart was sinking. And the pastor stood over the grave and he said, my wife's name was Nina. He said, Nina will rise again. And it was like a surge of confidence went through me. Yes, I believe this, Lord, I believe it. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Raised, 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 raised. I love what George Herbert said. Death used to be an executioner. Now, because of Christ's resurrection, he's just a gardener. You don't bury Christians, he wrote. You only plant them. Our bodies do not become rotting corpses, but germinating seeds. No journey to the grave is one way. Do you believe that? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is, it's gain. It's gain. You can do this. So never underestimate the unchanging value of what you believe. All right, fourthly, never underestimate the power of the memorized word. So, when I became a Christian, I was 1 week old in the Lord, maybe 10 days. And I was given John 14:6, which says, and if you know it, you can quote it with me. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So I memorized that. It's the only verse I knew. So I go to a party. It was a kegger where we're drinking a lot of beer. And I was at the party, and my friend, my best man in my wedding, was having an argument with his fiance over what church they should be married in. And he called me over. He said, Pat, 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 get over. Tell Sue, obviously, what church we should get married in. You know, he was Roman Catholic. I was Roman Catholic. He assumed I was going to say the Roman Catholic Church. I looked at him, and I said, I wouldn't get married in either one of them. They didn't preach the gospel. I couldn't believe the words came out of my mouth. They looked at me like, what? I said, well, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. If the church isn't preaching that Jesus is the only way, I wouldn't even go there. They're looking at me like, did somebody like kidnap you and put somebody else in your body? What's this all? What are you talking about? They said, they pulled in Gordon, another friend. You, I mean, Gordon would do anything for anybody. You're not telling me he's not going to heaven. I said, well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I said, wait, what about these nuns? They're praying through their rosaries. Are you telling me they're not going to heaven? I said, well, in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Nope, not if they're not coming through Jesus. What are you talking about? What are these Muslims? They're bowing down to Mecca. I mean, they're so dedicated. Are you telling me they're not going to heaven? Look, I only knew one verse. And I held them at bay for 3 hours with one verse. And I got back home that night. I remember laying in bed thinking, God, if one verse from your word is so powerful, imagine if I knew like two or three. Never underestimate the power of the memorized word. I have literally watched people bow down and trust Christ as Savior just from a direct quote from Scripture. You can do this. Love the Bible. Oh, how I love your word. It's my meditation all the day long. Do you love his word? Do you really love it? When my wife Marilyn, I don't want to get ahead of myself, this is for tomorrow night, but when I started to like her, I think she was more in love with me at the time. I'm kidding. She wrote me a card. The first card she ever wrote me, I just read it like over and over again. And why did I do that? Because I was falling in love with her. I have to spend time, and it's not enough just to read it. Chew on it, meditate upon it, memorize it, and you will experience its power. Fifthly, never underestimate the beauty of humility. How many of you had a growth chart growing up in your house somewhere? You know, where you stood up against somebody, put a pencil up there and put a line there. Have you ever seen the Apostle Paul's growth chart? Let me give it to you, okay? I was going to put it up, and I just didn't have time to do it, but I'm just going to read it to you. Here's Paul's growth chart. Year 55 A.D., 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I am the least of the apostles. Is that humble? Go like this. That's humble. 60 A.D., he said to the Ephesians, I'm the very least of all the saints, Ephesians 3, verse 8. Least of the apostles? 5 years later, the least of all the saints. That's a really interesting growth chart, isn't it? 5 years later, and just before he died, 65 AD, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and I'm the worst. Over a 10-year period of time, Paul went from being the least of the apostles to the worst of the saints. What does your growth chart look like? Are you growing in humility? I want to grow in humility. I'm not saying I can't say that I am. I hope I am. We had a Sunday night sometime back where, like this, I was teaching on how to study your Bible. And at the end of it, I said, now here's what we're going to do. I want all of you to think about this. Would you be willing to make a promise? And as I tell you this story, I want you to think about this to you. Would you be willing to make a promise to never leave your home without reading your Bible for at least 5 minutes? Since September 6, 1982, I can tell you that I've never left my home without reading my Bible, ever. And I don't mean that to pat myself on the back. I just know myself. I've got to hear from God. And so I challenge the church tonight, would you promise to never leave your home without reading your Bible? And hands were going up all over, and there was a guy right in the front. I went to Bible college with the guy. He was not raising his hand. And so I gave him a bad time right on the spot. I said, come on, Bob, you raise your hand. And he just looked at me stubbornly. And I'm thinking, oh, I should not have said that. I just sort of muttered something and I went on to the next point. And I really felt convicted about what I had done. So I called Bob the very next day and I said, Bob, I am so sorry for what I did calling you out like that. Will you please forgive me? He said, Pastor, I've already forgiven you. I said, thank you, but I'm asking you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Now, Bob, I need to ask you to forgive me next Sunday too, because I did that in front of everyone. He said, you don't have to do that. I said, please let me do that, because that was wrong what I did. So the very next Sunday, I did. I just said, you know, before we get going, I want you were here last week and blah, blah, blah. I told the story. And I looked over to Bob. I said, Bob, will you please forgive me for calling you out like I did? And he gave a very humble gesture. Yes, I forgive you. A few weeks later, a family, wonderful family, we did not evangelize them. They just moved in the area, and they decided to join our church. And they told their story. They said, we were getting ready to join either Sailorville Church or another church, great church in the area. We chose Sailorville because we were there that night. And we've been walking with God for almost 30 years, and we've never seen a pastor humble himself in front of a congregation, which I thought was strange. But that was the basis for their joining our church. So never, ever underestimate the beauty of humility. I mean, humility, just when somebody's humbled, aren't you just drawn to them? If somebody comes to you and says, I sinned against you when I said this, will you please forgive me? Is it your tendency to say, forget it, I ain't forgiving you? No, you want to forgive them, don't you? You're drawn to the beauty of it all. So never underestimate that beauty of humility. Sixth, never underestimate God's ability to answer your prayers, watch this, beyond your wildest imagination. Remember the text that we just had, Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. He's able. And the word able and power are in that text, and they're the root is the exact same word, dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. I know of a missionary that was tasked as a young kid with his friend to clear a strip of boulders so a plane could land, and they could not get the boulders. I mean, they couldn't pry them out of the ground until somebody said, I got a way to get them out, dynamite. They put dynamite sticks all under those boulders, no problem. Just like that, they cleared the air, because that's what the gospel and that's what our prayers are like. They're like dynamite. And remember, in this text that we have, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Exceedingly, what does exceedingly abundantly look like for you? What does it look like? What does exceedingly abundantly look like? When you ask God something, I'll tell you something. I went to, just the other day, I wasn't in my notes here. I sat with a guy at lunch, a wealthy businessman. And I said to God, I said, God, we have a real need in our church for $150,000. But I'm not going to say anything to him. I just want to befriend him. If he mentions money, I'll say something to him. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to say anything. I had a great time with the guy at the very end of the meal. He said, hey, I just got a question. You got any needs in the church I can cover? I said, well, since you brought it up, I said, it's going to cost $150,000. But he said, stop right there. I said, okay. He said, Pat, I can't let you finish the story. I said, why? He goes, reached into his pocket and pulled out a check for $150,000. He'd already written it out. He laid it right there and he goes, now you can finish your story. That is exceedingly abundantly. Amen? And so when you talk to God, you believe in him. You believe that he can come through. Yeah, I mean, he does say no, but sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says yes, and it's amazing. Exceedingly abundantly it is a church that's praying about planting just a church. We end up planting seven. That's exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly is when you have two rebellious sons and your only desire is, oh God, just save them. I don't care. Just save them. And today they're pastoring churches and winning people to Jesus. That is exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly is a widow with three kids asking God to give her, if he would be kind enough to give her a godly husband, and she gets the husband and seven more kids. That's exceedingly abundantly. I could go on, but it's all of this. When you look at that, he's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power, here's what the text says, within us. He's tapping us with this power. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Do you believe this? You can do this. You can trust the Lord. The exceeding abundant God and his ability to answer your prayers beyond your wildest dreams. One more. Never underestimate the miracle working power of the gospel. Never underestimate it. George Whitefield, the great preacher during the revival, the days of revivals, he was always preaching, you must be born again. You must be born again. He had a woman come up to him one day and said, Mr. Whitefield, why do you always preach that you must be born again? He said, because, ma'am, you must be born again. You must be born again. This morning, we talk about real salvation, genuine salvation, and what that looks like in your life. Many of you responded. You raised your hands, acknowledging that you were restless in your souls. And here would be my challenge to you. Jesus said in Matthew 10, he who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who's in heaven. Have you ever read that? So when we brag about Jesus down here, he's bragging about us up there. How cool is that? That's cool. That's really cool. And then you never underestimate the miracle working power of the gospel. And to my joy, not my credit, just my joy, I have seen it as this church has seen it. The power of the gospel working in your lives. And if the power of the gospel was working in your life this morning, let it be known. Confess that. Confess. Hamalagao. Agree with God. Echo it. Re-echo it. Tell it. Shout it. Tell your pastor. Let them know. I have trusted Jesus. And the miracle of the gospel is evident in my life. And may you go not only in that power, but in that joy. Never underestimate these things. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we come to you because we can. You've told us to. You are a God who we have seen over and over again, and this church has experienced, who will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's within us who know you. To you, Lord, we give glory here in the church and beyond. Bless Harvest Baptist Church. Bless the saints here and those who have come to know Jesus just in this day or last night. And I pray that they would let it be known because of the promise of Jesus himself. He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before you, Heavenly Father, in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you.